This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are live here in our hometown of Austin, Texas. This is John Massengill. That's Les Kaiser.
Yeah.
And the third member of our gang, Jonathan Green, is going to be joining us here momentarily from New Zealand. And he's down there for the Toyota Racing Series. But we want to, let me run down what we got on the show tonight. We have a great guest. We have Lawson Aschenbach, who is going to be running in the Daytona, the Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona in a week. Can you believe it's already here, Les? I mean, the racing season is upon us, baby.
Already? Finally?
I know. It just seems like Christmas
is
done.
I don't care about New Year's. I don't care about all the, you know, President's Days, all that. Let's get back to racing.
I'm with you with that, buddy. Also, we're going to have one of the boys from Ducati Austin on the line. We're going to have Vito join us because he's going to talk about the new Panigale that's come out.
When 210 horsepower is not enough, you go bigger.
you go, and you know, it's exactly what the Panigale needed was more power.
Yeah,
it was really,
yeah, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say that. Not.
Yeah, so, yeah, Vito's going to join us here in just a few minutes. Lawson at 7:30, Vito here in a few minutes. And, of course, Jonathan Green is down at the Toyota Racing Series. In fact, he is on the line. Mr. Jonathan Green, how's it going, buddy?
How are you?
We're doing great. How is it? How's it going down there in New Zealand?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, while you're freezing the tushes off over there, we've got record heat here. It's the hottest January on record here.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, we could use it. Finally warmed up here over the weekend.
We finally
hit upper 60, so it's kind of back to normal here, but. But yeah, why don't you get us caught up a little bit? Give us—I know you got some interviews that you did down there, and I guess how far are we in on the season over there? I mean, it's the compressed 5-week season of the Toyota Racing Series. Get us up to speed.
Okay, well, we are 2 weeks in, therefore 6 races because it's a mini season of 15 races. 5 weeks, as you just. So we're kind of almost at the halfway point in the season because of this week we're back in Auckland to do the third round, which will take us to the halfway point. We just come back from the southernmost motor racing track in the world. Only Antarctica left afterwards, so there's no one there. So we were in Invercargill, which is on the southern coast of the South Island of New Zealand. Plenty of penguins, plenty of wildlife, and beautiful part of the world. And it was sunny too. And we had 3 great races. We've got a really interesting field this year. I've never seen a more clean, hard racing group of young men. They're not crashing into each other. They're not crashing out. They're driving smoothly, which means there's not a lot of overtaking at the moment. But I think the lid's going to come off here at Hampton this weekend because it's all been kind of one-way traffic. But a new kid has just stepped up, Clément Novalak, who is sounding, as you might think, as Frenchman, but he's actually from Great Britain. His parents were from France and Switzerland, and he grew up in Great Britain. So he's claiming to be British and will take him because he's awesome. He's an ex-car champion. And he's won his first race and in a championship which had, up until that point, been dominated by one team. And he is in the Giles team, and so he's finally started winning. And I think he's going to be a real factor. And this is his first ever car racing series.
Wow, first time ever in a series, and he's already got his first win. That's pretty awesome. Where did you say he was from, Jonathan?
Well, he's from Great Britain, and he's going to be racing for Trevor Carlin this year. But his background is he grew up in France and in Switzerland, so he's kind of multicultural. So he can speak perfect French, but he's British, and when you talk to him, he sounds British. And obviously, he wanted to take it on the best, and so he's come to Britain, got his license in Britain, and for all intents and purposes, he's from Great Britain. The other winner, and as you know, we're going to put in his interview on, was an American. Who's also from Ecuador.
Woo-hoo!
So born in Ecuador, but an American through and through. He has a Stars and Stripes suit on. You can't miss him. And his name is Juan Manuel Correa. And he's a really nice kid. And he's about to go and enter GP3 this season. And he, too, got his first win in the Toyota Racing Series. And he, too, is an ex-kart world champion. So we've got some real talent down here. And we've got Americans amongst them.
Well, that is fantastic to hear that we've got some American representation down there and doing well and winning races. And, well, so what about, Jonathan, we talked about early last week, I guess, or week before, talking about the favorites to win and all those. And, you know, what are you seeing play out after a few races now versus what was expected?
Well, yeah, to be honest, it is going to straight to form guide. M2 competition has the biggest team. And they also have probably the most experienced drivers. They've got two Ferrari Academy drivers, and that is Marcus Armstrong of New Zealand, who raced in the series last year and went on to win the Italian Formula 4 championship and was runner-up in the ADAC German Formula 4 championship. We have Oliver Schwartzman from Russia. And SMP Racing from Petersburg in Russia. And he, too, is a Ferrari Academy driver. And we all know that Ferrari don't mess about with that kind of stuff. They get the best guys that they can. And the third driver is a name you'll remember from last year. He was with the Red Bull junior team. His name from the Netherlands is Richard Verschoor. And he's come back again this season. Sadly, he's been dropped from the Red Bull junior team, but because he didn't have a great Formula Renault series. So he is on determined form. He's already won a race, and really, the championship, I would say, is probably going to end up between those three teammates and this new kid, Novalak, with a few others making up the podiums and so on. So we've got a real three-way battle between teammates, and what's interesting is that obviously the two Ferrari Academy guys want to beat each other, and they're also going to be teammates this season in the summer. So they really are getting a taste of what's to come, as it were, and they're pretty close. But at the moment, it's the Kiwi, and of course, everybody's electrified down here with Brendan Hartley going to Formula One. So there's a big buzz, and it's the Kiwi that's leading them. And this year, we've got five Kiwis in the series, and they're all holding their own. Some are more experienced than others, but it's Marcus Armstrong of Christchurch who leads the way at the moment.
It's funny. Somebody was just asking me about the Toyota Racing Series, about the 86s. And I know that now they've already finished that side of the championship, right? The 10 tops, those are already done, right?
No. In actual fact, they are on the same...
The same schedule?
Weekends as we run the Toyota Series. Yeah, same schedule. They're not going to be here this weekend, this coming weekend, but they were there last weekend. And funnily enough, I mentioned that there's two Kiwis, or five Kiwis in total. Two of them have come from that championship. So we've got last year's 86 champion, Ryan Yardley, and last year's runner-up, Reed Harkins. So they're trying the Toyota Racing Series, the International Series, for the first time, and they've stepped from 86 to the single-seaters and taken on the rest of the world. So it's a real task. They're not the classic Carters. They come up through tin-tops. But it just shows you how good the 86 championship is when these guys are on their own. They're not winning anything yet, and they're learning their way, but they're not crashing either. They're making their way and learning. They've got good engineers. They've got good top international engineers and mechanics. So it's a big step up for them. But, that 86 championship is proving to be a really good breeding ground for young drivers.
Well, and if you don't know what the 86 is, the Toyota 86 here in the United States, they call it the FRS, and it's also basically the almost virtually identical, the Subaru BRZ, which, I mean, this is a really popular car, track car, because it handles just phenomenal. You know, the dig on it a little bit is kind of like a Miata, that it's underpowered, but, you know, it's one of those cars where it's such a blast to drive. It's, you know, it's less, you would be a good person to ask about this, because it's just like the Miata, where it's just handles so smoothly and amazing. But and you forget about the power in a way, because it does drive so well.
Well, it's predictable and it's balanced. That's what you want in any race car, for one. But then when you get it on the street, it just makes it that much more fun. And so, yes, the Toyota, the 86 is a phenomenal little car, rear wheel drive. You know,
yeah, good point.
It really took the people that wanted true sports cars, this is really appealing to them. And it's been out a few years now. And, you know, check them out on the used market. They're getting pretty reasonable if you don't go grab a new one. But they're great little track cars. Very reliable, being Toyota drivetrain. Just a cool car.
Yeah, and it really is the best of Toyota and the best of Subaru. They've got a Boxer engine in it, and it really is. I mean, we've, you know, two great names in both motor racing and in car making. I've driven the race car, actually, on a track here in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and it really is, as Les says, it's so well-balanced, and I'm no racing driver, but I was able to, you know, to get my head around it very quickly, and even though I wasn't fast, it was just a joy to drive. And in fact, actually, our sponsors, Dirtfish, if you go to the rally school up in Seattle, that's their rear-wheel drive rally school training car, the BNT. So, you know, you can actually, it just shows you, if they're going to use it at a rally school, it's obviously, you know, a simple car to get your head around, but obviously rallying is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, well, Jonathan, we're going to take a break. And, you know, before we do, though, the one thing we hadn't talked about, though, is that rear-wheel drive, like you mentioned, the six-speed manual is stock. I mean, is the standard transmission. The automatic is the optional transmission.
Right. Yep.
So that's why this is such a great little track car. But, Jonathan, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the new Ducati Panigale with the boys from Ducati Austin. You're listening to Speed City live here in Austin. Back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Hey, Austin, wake up and fly right on Talk 1370.
Hi, I'm Andrea Vistoso, and this is Speed to the City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Welcome back to Speed City, and we are very excited to...
Yeah, that's a great return, very appropriate.
What's that?
Andrea Dovizioso.
Oh, yeah, Andrea Dovizioso, of course. It's a very good, and I don't know if the producers did that on purpose or not. I think they're getting good enough.
He's that smart, yeah.
So we are very excited to have our next guest on the phone because the new Ducati Panigale is about to be released. And the boys from Ducati Austin Vito, welcome back to Speed City, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Doing
excited great. To have you, man. I want to hear all about this bad boy.
Now let me preface this a little bit. Okay, if you're going to see the new top bike that everybody is talking about for the race season and for the street, where do you want to see it? You want to see it close to the Circle of Americas. And the closest we're going to have Thursday night is right there in Ducati Austin's showroom. Man, Vito, you must have predicted this years ago when you put Ducati Austin there.
Yeah. We did. We planned on having a track.
A Formula One MotoGP track.
He knows good people.
Yeah. Well, so tell us about the event so we can, and then we'll talk about the bike.
Yeah, so we're one of four exclusive dealers in the United States that's having a preview of the new 18 models. So it's going to include the Panigale V4, the new Scrambler 1100, the new Monster 821, the new Multistrada 1260, and a new variation of the X-Diavel.
Oh, man. Diavel again, it just gets better every time.
They just make it painful for you, Les, to come and visit. Well, so let's, you know, obviously the big bad boy, the Panigale, jump into that thing and tell us what the differences are. And we got to know the numbers, too, because the horsepower numbers are just astounding.
210 horsepower was not enough.
Yeah.
No. So they're doing the press release this week in Valencia, Spain, I think it is. The horsepower on the bike is going to be 214. But if you get a V4 Special, it's going to come with a full Akrapovic system. It bumps it up to 226. So it should ultimately have probably the best power-to-weight ratio of any of the current superbikes that are going to be out there.
So what was that little system you said that adds that extra horsepower? What does that entail?
So it's a Akrapovic race kit, which is the full titanium exhaust system.
That's awesome. And obviously that's probably a little bit of weight reduction as well.
Yeah, it's going to probably drop 10 kilograms.
Well, as we know, after talking to everybody in, we were talking to the F1 guys last year, and they were talking about grams. I mean, we're talking Formula One cars talking about grams. So any amount of weight in this high level of machinery makes a big difference.
Yeah, it sure does. Because, you know, one of the big things about this bike, being that it's a V4 motor, it's going to be a little bit heavier than the 1299 that it's replacing. But they've done a lot of things with mass centralization, how the engine's developed, where the engine's located, the length of the swing arm, the new chassis, that are really going to help with that, you know, the difference in the weight to still make the bike one of the best, quickest handling machines out there.
You know, if I remember correctly, the twin version of it was around 360 pounds, and we're looking at 381 with this.
Right.
Wow.
The V4 was, I mean, the 1299 was 367. This one's a little bit higher, you know, but like I said, the motor's another, almost 15, 20 horsepower more. And, the big thing about the motor is that it's a counter-rotating crank. It's still 90 degrees. It's going to be like their MotoGP bike with the twin pulse Big Bang style engine with the 70 degree offset crank, which is going to make it really a nice handling bike. This is the first V4 that's in production that's going to have a powder rotating crank, which makes the engine spins backwards to the direction of the wheel to reduce gyroscopic effect.
So was that the big motivation for the big change to the V4?
The big motivation was because, you know, the future rules in World Superbike are going to go to 1,000 cc's ultimately. And, you know, the 1299 Maverick could race in World Superbike, they're running still the Panigale R, which is an 1100 cc motor or 1200 cc motor. And it just sort of reached to the point where it was getting prohibitive to keep on the development of that bike and be competitive with, especially if the displacement's going down. And, you know, the MotoGP bike been so successful, especially in the last year, you know, like I said with Andrea, he won 6 races this year on the bike.
Well, and this is a classic example, right, of the technology trickling down from racing, particularly from MotoGP, into street bikes. And then, I guess, like you're saying, back, you know, it's all, you know, because it's Ducati, you know, small specialized manufacturer, that it's kind of all the same thing, the street bikes and race bikes. I mean, I know that you, if you put them side by side, it's not like there's that many parts, but still there's a lot of crossover, right?
Yeah, there is quite a bit. And Ducati's really the only manufacturers that uses the same bale train on their street bikes that they use on their MotoGP and World Superbikes.
You know, folks, the thing that's so cool about this is when I get to go out and play on them, you get to feel like a hero or something here. But this bike far exceeds my talents. But I'll tell you, you come up, like what they're talking about on the new ones. Okay, you know, it's got a couple of power modes. Those are awesome. It's got Bosch cornering ABS. That's pretty advanced stuff there. Ducati's traction control, which I've never experienced. Ducati's wheelie control, which I've never experienced.
I can testify to the opposite of that. I'm sorry. I may even have video.
No, sir. I know good people. Ducati slide control, engine brake control, and auto tire calibration.
Wait a minute.
What is auto tire calibration, Vito?
So that is, the bike comes with Pirelli tires, and there's 3 tires. But if you go to the track or you say you want to run different brands, traditionally slicks are a different aspect, so they're a little bit taller. The tire calibration basically allows you to run a slick, and it recalibrates all the track control, all the electronics on the bike, so that you still have the same performance and the same all the traction control, wheelie control, engine braking, all those still function properly.
Yeah, so basically it just knows that you have a new tire height and it makes all the
Correct.
Adjustments accordingly. How does that work? Do you put in the parameters manually?
No. All you need to do is put the bike in race mode, get it into tire calibration mode, start traveling, put it into second gear at 30 miles an hour. It'll start the calibration process in about 15 seconds. It'll do the calibration. Done and you're ready to go.
Wow, that's cool. How does it work? I got to know more about this.
Okay, I'm thinking circumference. I'm thinking it knows its RPM at 30 miles per hour, and it's already done all
how
that.
How does it work, Vito? This is cool.
Tell us, Mr. Know-It-All.
I may be an engineer, but I don't have all the secrets of the Italian factory.
Yeah,
they don't share that with us. All the algorithms, because that's really the secret sauce.
Okay, well, still, that's cool, man. That's I mean, we've all wanted to change tires for whatever reason, and then you have to either recalibrate, however you do it. So.
Okay, but think of the guys that go to track days, and they're out at COTA, and you know they brought their track day tires with them, and they're putting them on. Well, they can now recalibrate, and like I said, in 15, 20 seconds, rather than guessing how they're going to change and adjust their own traction control, adjust their wheel control, all of those things. That's magic. Italian magic, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, so what's going to happen at the event on what night? You said Thursday
night.
Yeah, Thursday night. What all is going to happen? I mean, there's going to be free motorcycles for everyone?
Yeah, free motorcycles, free test rides. Everything. No, what it's going to be is Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to have an unveiling of the bikes. We'll have, you know, there'll be refreshments, food, drinks, and of course, being an Italian, we'll have Prosecco and Italian wine and beer for the evening. But it'll be the unveiling of the bikes. Unfortunately, there won't be any test rides, but the bikes will be able to display, show you the dash, how it works on the bike, and some of the other bikes will be runners. But these are prototypes, the V4s. So there'll be a V4S, and a V4, the Speciale, which is the top of the line with the new Tricolore paint scheme.
Yeah. Well, Vito, Jonathan Green is on the line as well. He's down in New Zealand, and he has a question for you and about Superbikes and MotoGP. Go ahead, Mr. Green.
Hey.
Hey, Vito. How are you, my man?
Hey, Giuseppe.
Hey, listen, I keep looking outside my hotel, and I'm just not arrived yet. Yeah, I'm going to drive around on. I mean, around New Zealand on.
Oh, I thought you were in Australia, so I sent it there.
Okay. Hey, no, listen, I wanted to ask you, what do you think? You mentioned the six wins from MotoGP last year. What about Ducati at both levels, World Superbike and MotoGP next year? What's the confidence amongst the Bologna Bullet folks and on how you guys going to get on this year?
I think it's going to be, it's going to be a tough year. Andrea was sort of a surprise for a lot of people. I mean, he's been consistently good. And, Lorenzo, he's progressed through the whole year. So I think they're going to do well overall. They just released the bike. Of course, they're not showing what the final fairing is going to look like and everything until after testing. So I think they'll be competitive again. Excuse me, I got a little bit of the cedar allergy. And World Superbike, Chaz had an outstanding year, and Marco, had a win, too. So I think it's going to be a competitive year for both teams.
Okay. And one last question. What about Moto America? Are we going to see Ducati at the level of 20 years ago when they were dominating the American scene? We've had some private entries, but we haven't had, a full-on attack by Ducati.
No, I don't think that's in the cards this year. I don't really not privy to the information, but from what I've seen right now, there's not going to be a Moto America team. Possibly, I hope with the V4 coming out, it'll be, something will be developing in the next year or so when there'll be another version, of course, because this current V4 is 1,103 cc's, and to fit into the new racing categories, they'll probably have to develop 1,000 cc's.
Well, Vito, we really appreciate you coming on the show,
cool.
Buddy. And Jonathan, hold on, buddy, and we'll get you back on here in just a second. But Vito, thanks a lot for calling in.
All right.
We'll look forward to seeing you out there on Thursday night and look forward to getting you back on the phone to talk about MotoGP and World Superbikes during the season.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I said, it's always cool because Ducati knows exactly where Ducati Austin is located, especially being right here next to COTA. And I'm going to tell you, that is the place you want to be for the kickoff of MotoGP Race Week, is Ducati Austin. Never know who walks in.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, but we're very excited because after the break, we have Lawson Aschenbach coming up to talk about racing down at the 24 Hours of Daytona next week. Very excited. Listen to Speed City here in Austin, back after these messages.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
This is Danny Walker from American Supercamp and the Broster Chicken Road Race Factory team, and you are listening to Speed City, so get your elbows up.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, welcome back. We are very excited because two reasons. One, we got the race season getting started really here in worldwide. Is
finally
Rolex 24 at Daytona is kind of the everybody's going, all right, it's about time. We're about to kick off the real race season here. And so, and of course, everyone will be set up with televisions and computer screens and phones and everything else, watching as much of that 24 hours as they can. But our next guest will be participating in the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, and we're very excited to welcome Lawson Aschenbach back to the show. Welcome, Lawson. I appreciate you coming back on. Well, we're excited to have you, buddy, and welcome back to the show. And we want to talk about, I mean, Lawson's got a fantastic career racing in the Pirelli World Challenge and in the IMSA WeatherTech Series. Won the championship in the Pirelli World Challenge last year, and back in the Acura NSX for Michael Schenck Racing this year. And I'm assuming you were down at the Roar getting ready as well.
Yeah, that was obviously it's a very important test for everybody because it's really the only time that all the drivers get to work together. You know, the team has had a long off season, and all of us are kind of feeling each other out, making sure everything's good to go. But it was a very productive test, very positive test. Excited about the potential of the NSX, and the Michael Schenck Racing, the team has done such a flawless job this off season in preparing everything. And I'm just very excited about our potential for this race. We've got a great driver lineup, and as long as we do our jobs and stay focused, I think we're going to have a good shot to win this race.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see that NSX in its sophomore, the second season, right, with the NSX, right?
Yes.
I'm excited because,
year.
I mean, it's weird. I was thinking it wasn't 3 years, but last year, I mean, there were flashes of brilliance and you know, obviously a brand new car.
Got the rookie butterfly shakedown.
Yeah,
done,
exactly.
And now we're ready to run.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what this car can do.
So I got to ask Lawson, have you had the opportunity to sneak the keys out of Michael Schenck's hands to his streetcar? We did finally find it after you couldn't find one. We found out where it went.
That is definitely something that I may have to do this year. I'll promise you that. The streetcar is such a beautiful car. I mean, I've obviously been fortunate enough to drive the race car, but I think the race car, it just looks so good. It's got such a sexy lines. You know, it's got good power. I've heard a lot of great things about it. Mike talks about it all the time. So we know Acura hit the nail on the head on this NSX. So it'd be nice to maybe get one for myself, if you know what I mean.
I think I do know what you mean. Well, I wanted to check with you, Lawson. So this year coming up, we're looking at a couple of things. Like I said, settling out the rookie year bugs or entry year bugs. What kind of things do you as a driver expect from the car different for this year?
Well, you know, last year, obviously I didn't get to drive the car. I was in a different team and a different make, but you saw the progression of the car from the start of the season to the end of the season. I mean, they were not sure they were going to be able to finish the 24 hour, to winning races, competing for the championship the rest of the year. And I think it's definitely a testament to everybody at HPD, everybody at Acura, everybody at Michael Schenck Racing and all the drivers they had last year. I mean, they did such a great job of trying to make this car a proven winner, and I think they did that. So now fast forward to this year, the team has had some time with it. They've been able to evaluate data, not just the team, but also everybody, HPD and Acura. And I think, we've kind of been able to refine things a little bit more coming into this year. And I think it's going to make us even stronger than they were last year. So I'm very excited about the potential, like I said, about this car. And, this team, I mean, it's really firing on all cylinders. I mean, I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of different programs, but Michael Schenck has this team tuned, to exactly what they need to do to make sure, we all can be successful.
Well, what about the roar? You know, we touched on it when we first brought you on, but tell us about what you guys accomplished at the roar. Maybe any surprises there, or any good or bad.
Well, I'd say we actually, surprisingly, rolled off the trailer really fast. I mean, you never really know when you get to Daytona, because it seems like every year the grip level changes. So, you know, whether the roar is low grip and then the race weekend is high grip, or like last year it was very high grip during the roar and then a little bit low grip when we got to the race weekend. And it seemed to be a little bit similar to that coming into 2018. So we rolled off the trailer really fast. I mean, all the engineers did a great job of putting a solid baseline setup on the car. You know, we honestly didn't really deviate from it too much. It was just a matter of kind of fine tuning some things. You know, this car has you know, quite a nice torque curve on it with the turbos and so forth. And so you got to make sure you work on that power down at up every corner. And on top of that, you know, everybody is constantly working on being able to brake late, but also carry a little bit of speed through the corners, because these GT3 cars have quite a bit of downforce on them. And when you can roll that speed through the bus stop, that's going to be an important key to being able to pass people, or at least stay with people in the draft when you come to the start finish line. So, you know, we're constantly balancing that high speed versus low speed. You know, you want the braking stability and the power on grip level, you know, in the low speed stuff, but you want that high speed stability and that ability to be able to kind of roll speed to the corner, which is going to realistically going to want a stiffer platform. So it's a bit of a give or take, but you know, for us, like I said, it was really just a matter of kind of fine tuning a couple of things. We made a couple of changes. We lost, we lost a little bit of track time. So, you know, going into that sort of fake qualifying session, we didn't quite have what I think we were capable of. But, you know, that's the way it goes in racing. So I have no doubt we'll fix things for the race and we'll be good to go.
And sometimes you guys may not show everything that you're capable of, right? that's what the roar is all about, too, as well. But we'll talk about you this week coming up. What does it look like for you? Because and your teammates, too, because obviously you're sharing the rides and sharing that 24 hours. Talk a little bit about the Daytona and you know, what makes it special, too.
Well, I'd say first and foremost, I mean, this is one of the most iconic races and all of sports car racing. You know, everybody knows what the Rolex 24 is all about. It's a race that every driver dreams of winning and is willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. So I have not won one myself, but I'm fortunate to have some teammates that have, Justin Marks, and I think one or two other guys have won one of these races. So, AJ Allmendinger, so he knows all about it.
Yeah,
but when you show up to the race weekend, there's always a little bit of, you know, butterflies, right? We're all professionals here, but it's not so much butterflies as being nervous about driving the car. I think it's really just an excitement that you get when you drive through those tunnels and you head up into the infield in Daytona and you look at the track. You see all the stands. You see the track, the banking. You see cars ripping around there. It's an amazing feeling, and there's so much history at a place like that. It's, you know, you want your name on the record books in the end. And so, you know, a little bit of the pre-event stuff, you know, we're doing a lot of training and, you know, we should probably touch on this with my teammate, Justin Marks, with his quick little trip down to South America to climb a mountain. but, you know, I think we're always focused on making sure our body and our mind is in the right place to be able to attack that 24 hours at a high level throughout the entire event. And when you're called upon, you know, at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. for those 2-hour stints, maybe a triple stint, you got to be ready to do that. So I have no doubt that all the drivers here are capable of doing that. We're all working hard, training hard. We're all working together, which is a very important thing for an endurance race. So yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's there's a lot of behind the scenes work that people don't see, but you know, it ends up paying off in the end when you've you know, stepped on the podium after the race.
Yeah, and having your name on a trophy like that, I mean, we get it how special that is, and the guys that actually get to put that Rolex on their wrist too. I mean, I know that's such a big deal, and
oh yeah,
and this is such a special race.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that amazes me is yes, it is 24 hours long. The Florida weather can change very quickly. You know, at the moment, they've got a 50% chance of rain Saturday afternoon up to an 80% midday Sunday. So bring your waders. I think you're going to need them.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, it is Florida. So, yeah. So by the time we get to the race, it'll probably be 100% at the race start and zero after about 3 hours. So you never know in Florida. But you know, in these 24-hour races, you know, I mean, the conditions are the conditions. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. So we have to be ready for anything that's thrown at us. And I think the Acuras showed very well last year that their car is quite quick in the rain, which is something that I'm pretty excited about trying out this year at some point.
Yeah.
So, I think regardless of rain or dry, I think we've definitely got a good package here that we can win. And, you know, again, we've got drivers that have been able to experience all these conditions before. I mean, last year was kind of interesting for me because the car that we were running, you know, we struggled a little bit to get tire temp, especially in the rain tires. And I remember starting a stint on a brand new set of tires. It was extremely cold. I mean, it was probably 30 or 40 degrees, you know, full wet. And it took the entire stint to get the tire temps and the pressures up to really operating, you know, our optimal operating pressure and temp. So it was a very difficult stint. And, you know, you're kind of wondering, like, what the heck is going on right now? But that's just the way it goes. And then you kind of learn that, well, you know, we should probably start double stinting or triple stinting tires. And these are some of the things that'll happen throughout the race that, you know, you have to be ready and you have to, you know, sort of take advantage of something that you've learned. And that's why we have these great engineers and great data guys. And, you know, in our car, we got Mike Schenck right up there on the box calling the strategy to make sure we're all in line and doing the right thing. So there is so much more to this race than I think the fans and the TV viewers see. But, you know, it just makes it all that more worth it when you win it.
And I think the respect internationally is really growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we talk about it being a special event, and Les, you talk about respect internationally. You know, guys like Fernando Alonso who are coming to this race this year wanting to do experience all the things you're talking about. It is that special of a race, you know? I mean, he can do anything he wants, right?
Or nothing at all.
Indy 500, Formula One, and he wants to be here at this race too. So, I mean, this is really a special thing. And don't get us wrong, you know, we're radio guys, but we're fans. And when this comes around, I mean, I have a special spot at my house where I set up all the computer and get it all set up, and I'm watching to all hours of the night. And, you know, the life does get in the way a little bit. So if I've got to go somewhere with the family, I typically have the phone going with one earbud in and shaking my head, yes, honey, and the other, you know. So it is a big, big deal for the fans, too. And I think it's more so even than it has been, or it feels like there's been momentum in the last few years anyway.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I think if you just look at the prototype class, for instance, I mean, you got teams like Penske coming in.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
And I think that's a big deal for this series, but also this sport, because I've been saying this for years, and you probably heard me say this on your show before. You know, I felt like sports car racing is at this ground floor, this explosion that we're going to see over the next number of years. In the end, I think it's the purest form of motorsports. You know, you've got these GT Le Mans cars, GTD cars, or GT3 cars, you know, that people can relate to. They can actually buy those cars on Monday.
Yep.
So that buy on Sunday, win on mentality. Win on Sunday, buy on Monday mentality really does mean something to these manufacturers. And that's why I think it's been so successful. And you see how many manufacturers are getting involved. And I think it's caught the eye of some of these big teams and these big drivers like Alonso, like Penske, you know, Castro Neves. I mean, you know, these guys, not to mention Juan Montoya and everybody else that's in the prototype class too. I mean, you've got great drivers like, you know, Jordan Taylor, Ricky Taylor, you know, a lot of other greats out there. So I'm excited because I think that sports car racing is finally starting to get the exposure and the recognition it deserves in America. You know, it's very big in Europe, it's very big overseas, but over here it still hasn't quite gotten to over that hump. And I think we're starting to get there right now. Yep. And so I think you know, I know we're talking right now, but I think you start looking at, you know, a couple more years down the road with all these teams and all these drivers and manufacturers involved. I think we're at the start of something that's really exciting, and it's going to be an important force in the world of motorsports, you know, for the next number of years.
Yeah. How many times when we talked to, you know, somebody we haven't met, we say, oh, you do motorsports. Oh, what kind of, you know, do you talk NASCAR? And I was, well, we do, but we primarily don't. We primarily talk all the other things than NASCAR. And some of them are really hard for people to get their head around. Somebody turns on a Formula One race for the first time, they're completely lost. You turn on the Rolex and you look up, maybe you pulled up in the driveway in a Porsche or an Acura, right, or whatever. And you go, oh, wow, I'm excited about that because there's my car, you know, and there's a whole grid full of those. So it's easy to get excited. And I mean, obviously you and I know, and all of us insiders, we know how complex it is. Like you said, engineers and setup and all that. But somebody could easily just jump right in and go, wow, that's a cool looking car.
You immediately feel like they've got a relationship or something in it.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Easy to find somebody to root for, no doubt.
You know, that's kind of brings up a memory of mine. I was at a race in Austin, Texas one year. And I was coaching someone, so I was up in the stands kind of looking at some stuff. And I'll never forget, I was surrounded by a bunch of people, a bunch of fans, like local people, and a lot of them had their kids there, and some of the adults too. You know, they're seeing a McLaren go by, and they're seeing a Lamborghini go by, and a Ferrari, and an Aston Martin, and whatever. And they're the kids jumping up and down, like, hey, look at the Ferrari go by, or look at the Acura go by, or look at the Mercedes go by. And you start to see that excitement that I think a lot of other motorsports lack, because as much as we'd like to say that it's all about the drivers and the teams and all this stuff, but in the end, the cars do matter. They matter.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't have that intimate relationship with those cars, or at least the excitement that you get out of seeing these, you know, high performance sports cars on track, you know, you don't really have much to sell.
Yeah.
So I love it. I really do. And I've been a big advocate for this type of racing for a long time, and I hope to see it continue to grow.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think we talked about it last year. You know, I pulled up behind a ZL1 Camaro, and it was like, okay, I'm going to be on his rear bumper just to make him mash a little harder, and just so I could see. And he did, and he obliged, and I saw the taillights disappear. But
I like hearing it's a Camaro too. So
I know you do. But you know, they are awesome. The NSX, I absolutely love the first generation, and I'm anxious as we start to see more of those around town. I've seen one here in Austin now, so excited to see that grow.
Well, and of course, it's also a big festival too. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a car fan, gearhead, race fan, whatever you are, you're going to enjoy this because there's a lot more to it. It's not just the race. I mean, there's all the things that go on there, and all the vendors and everything else around. So it's a cool event from start to finish.
Yeah, it's a great experience for everybody, for families, you know, adults, kids, you name it. You know, people really enjoy coming to these events now because it's pretty relaxed. You know, you can walk around the infield, you can check out all the cars, you can go see different corners, you can go up in the stands if you want. There's places to eat, places to drink, places to do whatever you want. And if you want to go back to your hotel for a couple hours in the middle of the night, you can do that too. So I think it's a very fan-friendly event. There's a lot of personalities around, which are cool to see. And, you know, I think, as you've mentioned, and I've going back to it again, but having someone like Alonso there is a big deal. I mean, people are coming for the attraction of some of these drivers. So I think it's just such a great event, especially after you go from right from Daytona right into Sebring, you know, two just massive events that are so important to everybody in this sport is pretty incredible. So we really start the season off with a bang.
Well, I got to ask you, we're almost out of time. I got to ask you, we've probably asked you this before. We've been asking it for race drivers for years now, and about half the time it's boring, but sometimes it's really exciting or funny or whatever. But what are you driving every day now? And I know the corporate, you got the Honda guys and Acura behind you, but you might be driving something fun or something classic. What's your fun daily driver?
Well, honestly, I've got a daddy wagon, so I've got a GMC Denali as my regular car, but
we've heard worse.
But I do have a 69 GTO Judge that I don't get to drive very often. It's actually up in Maryland, but
that's cool.
It's kind of my fun little hot rod. I get to ride around every now and then.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
What color? Hugger orange?
Oh yeah.
Good man.
Right on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, Lawson Aschenbach, appreciate you coming back on Speed City. We're here in Austin, and we'll look for you when you guys come around this way. And we wish you the best of luck down at the Rolex 24 Hours in Daytona.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good
I appreciate
luck,
you having me on. Don't hesitate to call me anytime.
All right, buddy. Thanks again.
Take care. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Nice guy.
Yeah, always
good
fun.
Race car driver.
You know, I mean, it's been fun. We've seen him driving a few different cars. You know, that's why I reminded him of that ZL1. That was a fun little thing to see happen.
All right, well, we got to get a quick break in. So we'll be back after these messages, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Toyota Racing Series. We'll have one of those interviews and maybe Mr. Jonathan Green back on the line. You listen to Speed City here in Austin, back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory-authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
My name is Christina Nelson, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, we're going to try to go back out to Mr. Jonathan Green down in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series. I think he went out and got a burger or came back. Mr. Green, are you still around, buddy?
Listen, I'm on a pure kale diet here. My body's a temple.
Yeah, I know way better than that. I've scarfed
it's
a burger with you
myself.
One of
those with the big round dome on it.
Hey, Jonathan, we've got this interview you did, and I want you to set it up for us because this guy, Juan Manuel Correa, this is somebody we want to keep an eye on, I take it.
Yeah, and as you know, we had Cameron Das on the show before the start of the season. He's doing okay. He's not pulling up any trees yet, but he's learning his way. The young American, and this is another young American from originally from Ecuador, born in Ecuador, but definitely an American now, and has achieved a great deal in karting over the years. Now making his way in single seaters, and he's going to be in GP3, so another Santino Ferrucci in the making. But he's won his first directly after winning down in Invercargill this weekend.
All right, well, let's hear this interview that you did yesterday or earlier today.
Okay, Speed City fans, I'm here with Juan Manuel Correa, who has just completed his first race win in the Toyota Racing Series. First of all, congratulations. Just what you needed at this time of the year, because we're just starting out. But you've been competitive in the first round too, so you must be pleased with this.
Yeah, as I said before, it's finally good to get a win because we deserved it with the pace we've had in the races. The guys did a great job from the round before already. We just got a bit unlucky in quali before, and as well in this round, we didn't put it all together in qualifying. So it's finally great to be where we belong, where I think we belong, and as soon as we get the quali sorted out for the next rounds, we will be up in the top step again.
So you're flying the flag for the United States, so congratulations. But you're originally born in Ecuador. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, I was born in Ecuador, but lived a long time in America. My dad is American, and my racing career spiraled out of America. I was a national champion in karting in the United States, and then I won the world championship in karting as an American. So I've been racing for the American flag since then.
How many of the other up-and-coming Americans are you aware of, like Gustavo Menezes or Santino Ferrucci and so on?
Yeah, I've actually raced against most of them. People like Logan Sargent, Devlin DeFrancesco, Santino, I raced against them. And the few I haven't raced against, I know them from the karting scene back in the United States. So, yeah, I know them, all of them, not close with a lot of them, but I think we all know who we are.
As you say, you, Sargent, have both been right at the top end of karting. How hard is it to go from karting into car racing with Slicks and Wings?
Well, I think usually if you're good in the top level of karting in Europe, you're most likely going to be a pretty decent driver in single-seaters as well. You know, the step from karting to single-seaters is a big one, but everyone is on the same boat. Everyone that does the step in categories like Formula 4, Formula Renault, most of them are rookies as well. So if you have the talent and the skills, you should be fine.
What made you choose coming to New Zealand this year?
Just the long off season. You know, I didn't want to be inactive for about 4 months. It's also a great championship, good cars, the level is pretty high, and it's just a good time as well. You know, 1.5 months here, who wouldn't like that?
What are you learning?
Well, so far, you know, just getting...
Well, Jonathan, this kid is definitely going to be somebody we need to watch, and we're going to have the full interview. We'll get that out on our SoundCloud account. We're just about out of time. Jonathan, tell us about where we can watch the Toyota Racing Series these next few rounds.
Yeah, we are going to be live streaming all the races. So go to our Twitter feed, Speedcaster, and we'll let you know exactly the times. We'll put it up as soon as we've got it because there's a different link every weekend. But it's live and it's great and you can't miss a trick. And then, of course, the actual TV program, which I'm involved in, will be on the market around the world. We're in 100...
All right, Jonathan, thanks, buddy. We got to run just a couple of quick things. The Ducati event this Thursday, and Les and I are going to get to do the Audi track day event out at Circuit of the Americas pretty quick. And we'll give you an update on that. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.